This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
Whether liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican, white, black, brown, rich, poor, when it comes to our troops, we stand united. We are proud of you. We support you. And we can never thank you enough.
Fighting for Idaho.
Most of the freshmen that I've met are, yes, they're conservative members of Congress, but not the extreme conservative. Man, I can live with that because that's where I feel like I'm coming from.
Fighting for you.
I don't think marijuana should be treated any different than beer. I mean, you could outlaw obesity.
Hey.
Boise's Mr. Right.
A little too close to home, buddy.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I can't believe this. This is a Christmas surprise. The chairman of the Idaho Republican Party, Stephen Yates, with us. He just kind of walked in. How are you?
Doing well, Kevin. Thank you.
Now, weren't you in the, you know, Taiwan or Hong Kong or somewhere?
I was in Taiwan, 15 hours ahead of here, and my body is here, and my body clock is most of the way here. I've had a few days to adjust, but I find with age it takes longer.
Right. You've mastered the social media. I keep track of you by, you know, what show you're on, TV or radio, or what country you're in.
Well, unfortunately, to some people, it seems like you're being a braggart. But, you know, with Facebook, there are a lot of people who want to be your friends who really just want to be your stalkers. And there are some people who really are your friends and your family. And some people who ask, will you please tell me where you are so that, you know, we can come get in touch with you or tell me about your media stuff. So it's a fine line that some, that I walk. I don't know that I walk it well. It's in the eye of the beholder.
I see. Well, I just marvel at your work ethic and your workload. So you're on these shows all the time, whether it's the Fox Business Channel, the Fox News Channel, the ever-opinionated Dana Show and Glenn and everybody else. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, I guess
what
thinking
big
of,
issue?
Well, there's a couple of big issues. You know, I worry that we are a nation increasingly at risk at home and abroad. And so if you want to talk about the two biggest categories of why are we continuing to be at risk abroad and what do we need to be doing at home, I think there's a couple of big things. Everybody has the issues that matter most to them, and they tend to be in sort of the area they circulate in. It's not as if I circulate in a bigger circle or a more important circle, but when it comes to the issue that matters most to me here in Idaho, I am really concerned about federal encroachment in an activist Obama administration in its last 2 years. And I really try to talk with as many people as I can in the state about what constructively can we do to support our leaders to be strong and innovative and effective on the 10th Amendment. We all talk about it. Almost all of us believe strongly in it.
Right.
I think it's under assault, and we need to think a lot about that. And I think that's at home a very high priority. Abroad, you know, this attack in Sydney, absolutely revolting slaughter of school children in Pakistan, grinding civil war in Syria that spawned ISIS. People pop up as lone wolf attackers around the world. We really need a serious discussion as a nation about how do we live up to the constitutional mandate for having this republic, providing for the common defense. What do we need to do? And I just don't think we have a rich conversation on those things.
As someone who has worked in the government, now you're on the outside here at 580KIDO, what about the role of the press? Are you shocked that Chuck Todd asked your former boss on Meet the Press comparatively to the, you know, we sued the Japanese because of the Bataan Death March, comparing what we did to save America to the Bataan Death March and his reaction, which was incredible. And you're very close with the former vice president. I just wonder your thoughts when how Dick Cheney responded to that.
Well, I thought it, I mean, it was a genuine response from him. He has spent, people don't know very much about Dick Cheney the man. They know a lot about Dick Cheney the image, and he hasn't really cared that much about his image over the years. And so in many quarters, it's not great. Many of us who've been around the man, sometimes we marvel at the liberal friends he keeps, and then other times we marvel at the depth of research and contemplation that he has done on things over the years in terms of substance of issues and how government should function. He has been deeply, deeply concerned about how to respond to the violent ideology that is Islamism, and how to respond effectively as a government to provide for the common defense. So everything from the Ebola scare to continuity of government, all these things he's really thought a lot about. And yet that was a straight from the heart, what are you thinking kind of response to Chuck Todd's question. Of course, torture is what those guys did on 9/11 to 3,000 people, having to make a phone call from a burning down skyscraper, giving your last words, that the phone calls that came from planes about to hit buildings because they were in cell signal and they could call. That's torture.
Well, and again, you think of Barbara Olson calling her husband Ted Olson as one of the ones that stands out among many. But, you know, we're sitting here watching Fox News. We have Megyn Kelly interviewing the guy who waterboarded Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And I'm thinking, and Fox News aside, why is the press giving, you know, acting as the defense attorney to these terrorists that have committed and continue to commit horrific acts?
That's right. I mean, I think it's legitimate in our system for people to debate what kind of rules and procedures our government should follow in acting on our behalf to provide for the common defense. There is a little bit of an element of the argument that was in A Few Good Men, that where you had statements like, well, you know, you need me on that wall.
Right.
And you can't handle the truth. Now, most people say, no, I can handle the truth. Tell it to us. We want a debate. The more distance we have from a terrible act of mass violence, and sometimes the more distance we have from actual responsibility in government, the clearer the solutions become, the wisdom of our own views becomes. And it was an immensely complicated crisis situation after the 9/11 attack. I don't think we got everything 100% right. And I think it's right to go back and look about how we could get things better. But litigating what was done, trying to move the goalposts on people who were obeying lawful orders at the time, I think is an injustice. And what that gentleman said most poignantly stuck out to me. He says, I am willing to give my life for my country, but I am not willing to give my life for some political theater just because people a decade after the fact want to score points. And that, you know, I identify 1,000% with that sentiment. There are a lot of great people in our country who have given all, are willing to give all, it's on our defense. We need them. We need them on that wall. I think put it into the right place and have the discussion about liberty at home. And
well, I mean, even the threat of ISIS, we're giving ISIS the benefit of the doubt. And when we talk about what happened in Australia, you mentioned Pakistan. These are folks that are committing horrific acts. If you don't show them, if you don't speak their language, we give them their Miranda rights. We're not going to get any. We're going to continue to lose.
I agree with that. And, you know, we need to have, we'll have a debate with the presidential primary process in the next election about the broad direction the country should go. George W. Bush put us on what he called a war footing on the war on terror. President Obama has, tried to preside over a period where he declared the tide of war is retreating and decidedly moved us onto a law enforcement footing with regard to terrorism. I think there's going to be a little bit of a pendulum swing back, but to where is unclear. But there is only one language that this strain of Islamism understands, and it is violence. They engage in a degree of barbarism where you can't really negotiate with them as rational actors. They are willing to cut the heads off of children because they don't belong to their religion. We had this recent episode of teenagers who refused to renounce Christianity, and they cut their heads off. And how do you reason and negotiate with those groups? Sometimes you can have inducements. You might be able to buy off Vladimir Putin from time to time, but you cannot buy off an Islamist offshoot.
Why do we fail to understand that? It's shaped by the press. Well, you know, they seem reasonable. That you get this. You've lived in the world. You understand it at the highest levels. They don't speak our language. They don't want compromise. As you said, they don't want to speak our language.
Right. They have a clear mission. They have what we should have. They have defined their enemy.
Right.
They have identified the means they aim to use to influence their enemy. They are executing their plan, and they are not wavering in the face of what other opinions might be, because they are clear in identifying what they see as the higher purpose, but also the tactical structural response. And they have allies. We talk about, and this I think is another thing that came out very clearly recently, was this notion that you can focus only on core al-Qaeda or only on ISIS in Iraq clearly is not true. These lone wolf attacks are lone wolves to a degree, but they're linked by something. They're animated by something. That man in Australia put up a flag that communicated something, and it wasn't Australian. And so the reach of this animating force, I'd say this spread of evil, it doesn't know geographic boundaries. And it's time we woke up and put a structure of defense in our country, came up with a theory of national defense abroad in place that I think the nation is ready for an adult conversation on.
We go to the phones, and we go to Ron Paul Jim at 580KIDO. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim.
Good morning. Well, let the GOP charade begin. You know, you glossed right over that part about states' rights, you know, but never mentioned anything about securing the borders, you know, controlling the immigrants that might be hostile to this nation, the ones that we're pissing off in the Middle East. You know, and the reason why those people are so well armed and funded is because that was our foreign policy, was to arm and fund these radicals to go against somebody like Assad. And I would like to ask you, what exactly did Assad do again? Because I don't know. Everything I've heard was accusations and a fictitious, false flag of him using chemical weapons after Obama draws the line in the sand. I'll be crossing the line if he uses chemical weapons on his people. And it's been proven that that was a lie. So I'm really sick and tired of all these lies. Get us out of the Middle East. You know, quit playing geopolitics with resources and you know, power trips. This whole thing is a joke. Neither side does anything to rescind power from D.C. You have a much greater chance, probably 7-1, that you will be killed by a police officer in this country than by a terrorist.
All right, Ron Paul Jim, your thoughts.
He's welcome to his opinion.
Let's get you to traffic, 717 at 580.
Back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Okay, Millie in the morning, 580KIDO. Don't forget to go to our website, 580KIDO.com. Who's your pick for the Republican nominee? Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Chris Christie, Ben Carson, or Mitt Romney? Currently, Dr. Ben Carson in the lead, but we'll give you an update on that coming up. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Stephen Yates joining us, chairman of the Idaho Republican Party. And we go to Jeff in Boise. Jeff, good morning. What's your question?
Hey, this is a constitutional question for Mr. Yates. Mr. Yates, I did notice that you talked about, the attack on the Constitution. If you agree to that assumption that all politics are local, what on earth is the Republican Party doing attacking our Constitution here in Idaho, the Idaho GOP? Right in the platform you have that you want to repeal the 17th Amendment to take away our right to vote for senator. Mr. Yates is repealing the Second Amendment next, is repealing the 19th Amendment, taking away women's right to vote next. I just don't understand. I don't understand how any educated, critical thinking Republican can sign off on the Republican platform. I know you're new. I know you walked into this, but what the heck is going on?
All right, Jeff, thank you for the question. So are you going to repeal the votes of women and take away our guns?
Well, it's an interesting analysis. I know that that not everyone agrees with that plank in the platform, but changing the way our elected representatives are chosen is hardly the same as disenfranchising particular categories of our population. And talking about amending an amendment to the Constitution is hardly the same as taking away one of the top 10 Bill of Rights or going after those. The 10th Amendment for those who may not, or the 17th Amendment for those who may not keep track of these things every day of their lives is the one that talks about how our senators are elected. And originally there was a notion that many of our founding fathers believed strongly in, that the upper house should represent the states and the lower house would represent the people. And I think it's a reasonable question, although I don't think this is one that's going to be addressed anytime in the near future, about whether our senators are more accountable to the people by way of indirect election by legislatures choosing them or by the kind of approach we have now with statewide campaigns for them. So, to me, I don't see it as freedom at risk, and I also don't see it as something that has been actively pursued in recent years. So, I'm spending more of my time focused on what's on the near-term horizon for our party and for our state.
Let's go to the big story, Jeb Bush.
Jeb is a big story. And
is he 8 years too late?
Well, for some people could say he's more than 8 years too late in that 1994 was a exceedingly significant election for him and for the country, and that's the one where he fell just shy of Lawton Childs in Florida.
A little mix-up there, too, during that election. Yeah,
well, it is Florida, and we've had a couple of dalliances with Florida affecting the national politics. It's interesting. In the 1990s, he was a champion of a lot of reform proposals that were very well received in the Heritage Foundation, a lot of conservative organizations around the country. And I think he's a good and decent man in many, many ways. Recently, though, he seems to have been on the forefront of criticizing some issues that, in all honesty, received majority support in the Republican Party. So his approach to immigration, his approach to education, and his approach to health care are, at least if I understand them correctly, not majority views in the Republican Party. So it's interesting that he seems to be leading with a general election strategy rather than a strategy that appeals to the largest number of Republicans to nominate him. But he has ties with major donors around the country. It seems that this will likely lessen the odds of a Mitt Romney being recruited for a third time around. It seems to affect Chris Christie's calculus in terms of ties with Wall Street. All of this, though, I find to be very distant from the interest of Western states like ours. I think there are other current and former governors that will be in this field that is not yet defined. I think Jeb, given his family name, is going to get a huge amount of media attention and probably a lot of Washington and New York donor attention. But you know, I look at governors like Mike Pence and Scott Walker, Bobby Jindal, and some
but
others
it is
that are
a
less
money
hostile
game.
Names. It is a money game. But, every once in a while, it was a money game in 1992, and how in the world did the governor of Arkansas get the Democrat nomination?
Because he wasn't going against the first teamers.
Well, that was very true.
Paul Tsongas.
That's right. Well, I know Paul Tsongas didn't live much past that cycle.
God bless him, but yeah.
Yeah. And that's very, very true. But it's just another way, you look at it, it's a money game. How did Barack Obama end up out fundraising Hillary Clinton? No one could have really seen that at the outset. So it's very, very true. You can take a lot of the oxygen out of the room with a big name and a big money base. But I don't think it's going to deter these others from entering the race and competing.
I'm with you. And there is a magic to Iowa. There is a magic to New Hampshire and to some degree South Carolina. But let me hit you with this. Historically, metaphorically, a third Bush. I mean, you look at the connections of the father of GW and then Jeb with his group. That's a lot. That's like the Russian army in the day when they were good.
Yes, but that also is his greatest hurdle because I think instinctively a lot of Americans and I think a lot of conservatives aren't terribly fond of a dynasty, a royal family. And I don't personally see the Bushes of having conducted themselves in that way, but I completely understand how it is seen that way. And it isn't sort of, Barack Obama was, of course, the favorite spokesman for the Republican Party. But he was talking about how people are probably going to be ready for that new car smell in the next election. And everyone understood it as a jab at Hillary, and it probably was first and foremost. But it's going to apply on our side, too.
I'm with you. And one more thing about the Bushes, though. Jeb has a hidden weapon, his wife and his son, George P. I mean, that's something that, whether you agree with the Republicans on the outreach or not, that's something that we've never seen.
Right. Well, we have a few others who are bringing things that we have never seen. I mean, Bobby Jindal is a whole full cup of things we've never seen.
I would give you that.
And in terms of things that have been done in their states by way of reform and governance, I mean, you look at what Kasich has done in Ohio, what Pence has done in Indiana, what Walker has faced and overcome in Wisconsin. And, you know, I think there's a lot of really different angles. So, frankly, I'm excited to see these guys get into the mix and start talking about the future.
I got to hit you with one more, though. Do they cancel each other out, which paves the road for a Romney or a Bush?
Well, there are a couple of other forces out there that are going to contend seriously. One is Rand Paul. Rand probably has the most significant national organization so far. And I think that he will go deep into the primary. I think in many ways the field is going to be shaped by Rand and not Rand when it comes down to where the Republican primary process goes. We shall see. But I just see this as not being the same slugfest as we had last time. But we've got some pretty threshold issues to debate. And in the current crop of people that seem to be stepping to the race, I think they're capable of shaping that debate in a constructive way.
Chairman, we appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Anytime.
Yeah, you know, we could go on and on about politics.
It's not healthy.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, our friend Tom Munns with the breaking news. Out of Canyon County, Jim and Star, why he's done with the Republicans. But first, Jared Halpern joining us from Fox News Radio at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
So, the third President Bush, wow.
We'll see. Certainly opening the door to that type of possibility, setting up essentially an exploratory committee, which gives Jeb Bush the ability to file with the FCC, raise some dollars, really just, I guess, start to see if he can get an apparatus in place. I don't think anybody doubts that he would be able to do that. He certainly knows who to talk to mount a presidential run, and I think it would certainly make him an early front runner. And that's why I was a little surprised. Actually, I'll take out little. I was surprised that Jeb Bush made this announcement yesterday. I thought, given his name recognition, the apparatus, the mechanisms that he can create really from day one, that he would have the luxury of maybe holding off a little bit, maybe seeing how the race was shaping up and maybe making an announcement next year, early next year rather than late this year. But then again, I'm not from a family that has elected two presidents before, so maybe he knows something that I don't.
Apparently, he does know what he's doing, I guess. Better late than never. A lot of folks wonder why now as opposed to 08 or 2012.
Well, I think probably because of his last name and the unpopularity of his brother. But you would have to ask Jeb, I guess, why now? I think that his name helps and hurts, right? I mean, I guess it depends on where you fall on the Bush name in politics. And also, Jeb Bush is his own man, has his own record, was governor of Florida, and he's going to face some challenges from the more conservative side of the Republican Party when it comes to immigration, when it comes to Common Core and in education standards, things where Jeb Bush is largely an outsider, at least on the more conservative side of the ledger for the Republican Party. So this is a debate that's going to be opened up. You can sort of see other names that may take the same step. Ted Cruz may make a decision early next year. Rand Paul expected to make a decision early next year. Rick Santorum. It's going to be the type of debate that parties have when you have these wide open elections. You don't have an incumbent. Democrats are going to have the same sort of internal back and forth. I think everybody expects Hillary Clinton to jump in the race. I'm not totally convinced that that's what she's going to do, but let's assume that she does. There are going to be a lot of Democrats that are going to challenge her, both from the left and the right.
Jared Halpern joining us from Fox News Radio here at 580 KIDO. I'm wondering if he's going to plan to do a listening tour in, the winter wonderland of Iowa or New Hampshire, or
I think that's got to be part of it. Although I don't think he's been to Iowa, and I don't know how successful he would be in Iowa. That's sort of going to be part of this calculation, I think, for everybody as well. Is remember the Republicans are trying to shorten the nominating process. They thought that one of the things that was not helpful for them in 2008 and 2012 was how long and drawn out the process was of nominating somebody. You have Iowa, you have all these different contests. Iowa is still obviously the first caucus state. It's going to hold some importance, but you wonder for guys like Jeb Bush, who I said, you know, is not going to be the most conservative guy running for the Republicans if he runs, you know, if he forges a different path. Certainly one of the early primary states is Florida. Jeb Bush knows Florida. So I think part of it, too, is trying to decide for everybody, not just Jeb Bush, but everybody, both Republicans and Democrats, which states am I going to compete in, which states will I not. You know, it can really turn fortunes. You may recall back in 2008, it was a bit of an upset when now President Obama, then Senator Obama, did so well in the Iowa caucuses. And that really led to the rise and then eventual fall of Hillary Clinton later on in the campaign. So I think part of it, too, is going to be strategies on which states do I want to visit and how early do I need to start getting there. You know, we're still a year away from the Iowa caucuses, and it feels like they're next week with the number of people that have been visiting that state over the last several months.
Well, and not too far behind is New Hampshire, which
right.
I think has, you know, apologize to my friends in Iowa, has the most professional, informed electorate. You know, they're ready to
it's
go,
also
too.
It's easier to campaign there because it's a lot smaller.
Yeah, you have one big station there, and again, everybody loves Elm Street, but we'll have to see. Does this influence anybody else, let's say Mitt Romney at all? We keep saying he's not going to, but he could, but he couldn't, Jared?
That's going to, I think, remain to be seen. The thing that you watch for when somebody makes a step like Jeb Bush takes is do donors start to signal that they're going to start backing somebody over the other? And I think if you see that happen, that can have a bigger influence on other people. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to admit, well, you know, I was waiting to see if Jeb Bush would get in the race, and since he did, I'm out. But certainly a big factor is going to be, you know, we're going after the same donors, and if all of them are already lining up for him, do I feel that I have an opportunity to even compete? So that's going to be, I think, something to watch down the line. You know, I thought it was interesting yesterday. A lot of attention went to Marco Rubio. Obviously, both of them from Florida. Both of them know a lot of the same, obviously, Florida Republicans. Marco Rubio indicated, at least his spokesperson indicated, that Jeb Bush's decision was going to have zero impact on the decision-making of Marco Rubio. Certainly, it would be weird for Senator Rubio to say, well, you know, I'm not going to run if so-and-so is going to run. You're not going to hear that. But it is going to be important from a donor standpoint.
Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio. We appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Sure thing.
7:46, Kevin Miller in the morning. We go to Tom Munns with breaking news. Tom.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Is somebody missing a safe? Because there's one in the middle of my street.
Only Tom could make a joke about a breaking news story.
Yeah, well, it's sad. I mean, I think the neighbor had called me and said that the clerk actually was killed, but I can't verify that at this time. All I know is that we woke up to a bunch of cops on the street, and I wanted to make sure the people in my neighborhood were that were listening were aware of the fact. And so they're just trying to figure out what's going on. So I just wanted to make sure that my peeps in my neighborhood knew about it.
Well, not only that, but this is the story involving the shooting of the clerk at the Jacksons that we've been covering all morning long. They're actually in your neighborhood, the police?
Yeah, they're actually right there, probably 200 yards down from my house.
What are they doing?
No, they're just walking around trying to look for clues or whatever it is that cops do. I'm not really sure. But they were sure nice enough and all that. It was, you know, they're doing what they're doing, and that's what they're supposed to be doing, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Well, again, Canyon County deputies, again, they're searching for two suspects after one person was killed this morning in a shooting at the Notice gas station at Jackson's.
Yeah, so we're praying that they get a piece of, you know, a clue.
So the safe is in your street.
Yeah.
You've got your doors locked, I'm sure.
No, we've been walking in and out of them, out of the house. Now the cars are gone now.
Right.
Looks like. But, yeah, we've been walking in and out, looking around and trying to see. They said that the guy was at large, so we figured that we would look around to see if what's going on. So, but we didn't find anything. So, but can I comment on the Republican thing?
Can you hold on for a minute?
Sure, buddy.
All right. Hang on. Jim from Star, hang on. Quickly to traffic at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All you celebrities out there who poured ice water on your head, here's a chance to do something else. I challenge all of you to sing the We Ain't Gonna Stop Till People Are Free song. Here we go. I can hear my neighbor crying, I can't breathe. Now I'm in the struggle and I can't leave. Calling out the violence of the racist police. We ain't gonna stop till people are free. We ain't gonna stop till people are free.
Kevin Miller
Come
in the
morning.
Kevin,
sing it out.
There we go. Thank you. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Tom Munns.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to talk about that Yates thing for a minute and the GOP thing. And do we really need the takeover of another Bush dynasty? I'm hoping that people of Idaho are going to pay attention to this. I think what we should do is we should ask the GOP headquarters what their goal is. If it's actually to be able to turn everybody Republican, as that's some kind of solution, I would beg my fellow Idahoans to look into that and find out what that really means. Right now, the party should actually be trying to restore the foundational American principles, not turning that particular state red. Because red actually has two meanings. One, it can represent the Republican Party, and one, it can obviously represent the Reds. And I just want to remind people
the Reds? You know, who are the Reds?
Yeah, the communists, man.
The communists? You're saying the Republicans are the communists?
I'm saying that the many Republicans are what they call neoconservatives or Trotskyite-style Marxists, and they don't even know it. People that believe in the expansion of authority through the health services, and they believe the expansion of the military with boundless power and all of those things. If you read Irving Kristol and you read some books on neoconservatism, what we'll find out is most of the people that are claiming to be patriots aren't. They're actually something that they never even thought they would be. And a lot of people, I'm finding out, had that wake-up call. I know I did. So
Tom Munns,
we need to start being a little more critical. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Tom. See you Tuesday.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Remember, the Christmas party Tuesday here at the Broadcast Center. Jim from Star, you're at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller.
No, boy. Hey, Kevin. You know, seriously, like Tom just said, enough with the Bush family. Really? Come on, man. That's ridiculous. And you got to think of how this country was founded. Do you think our founding fathers want to have, you know, a third Bush in the White House? Oh, my goodness, man, after all the messes the other ones have made. And you know, as far as being a Republican, my last Republican day was a few days ago when that $1.1 trillion spending bill was just passed. And you know, what, only 16 Republicans didn't vote for it? I will be a registered independent from this day forward. The Republicans can really kiss off. They're actually, I think they're more dangerous than the Democrats. At least you know where the Democrats stand. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm looking forward to Jeb Bush coming back because the Bush family was always very good to me, and we'll be broadcasting from the White House again. And I'm looking forward to broadcasting from the White House, going to the White House Christmas party. I've been in exile for a few years, so I'm excited about Jeb Bush coming back. Just
Come
for
on.
My own selfish entities. Hey, the White House food is good, and it's a great way to impress your mom.
Well, I know you're being a...
Did you know that I was invited to the 4th of July White House fireworks under the Bush administration, and no one would go with me? Would you go with me if I get invited, Jim?
Well, you know...
Would you go with me?
Maybe I would.
Well, maybe you're not such a man of principle.
No. I'd go to the White House, but as long as it wasn't Obama or a Bush there, I would, you know, definitely...
Look,
hey,
Jim.
Kevin,
who are you?
Who am I?
Who are you to disparage President Bush?
Hey, I can be a discriminate person. That's a right that I have if I don't want to be around a bunch of those.
You don't want to go to the White House and have some fireworks.
I'd actually just rather watch fireworks in this beautiful town, the Star, that I happen to live in, and have fun and know that I'm around good people and not a bunch of scumbags.
You're so harsh.
No, I'm
serious.
You're
so harsh. I have to go, Timmy.
Okay, buddy. You take care.
All right. Jim is fired up in Star. Time for traffic.